The views expressed by Mae Brussel during World Watchers are those of the commentator and do not reflect the opinions of KAZU, its board of directors, or staff.
That is true. Okay, this is Mae Brussel, and it's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. And this is broadcast number 622. It's July. It's November. I look at the 7th. Have to write it down because it goes so fast. November the 7th, 1983. The first week in November, there will be a lot of programs celebrating or recognizing or remembering John Kennedy, the month of November. There's a lot of articles coming out and television shows, and I can't forget that date. I started my research 20 years ago on the 22nd. And we'll update what's happened in the last 20 years, maybe in 1 hour, 2 weeks from now. I usually begin the program with a discussion of what we were talking about last year at this time. That was broadcast number 570, November the 8th, 1982. Edwin Wilson was in the news at that time, and he was in the news again tonight. They're trying to change some of the charges. He's been given a bunch of multiple charges for sending explosives overseas, using commercial airlines, shipping explosives to Gaddafi, and also for hiring people to murder his wife and other witnesses to his trial. Edwin Wilson is in jail for quite a long time, although his name was in the news tonight, on trying to reduce some of his connections. He hasn't even been mentioned for his activity with Turple or Corkle. He's being tried alone. And Corkle, George Corkle, is in some jail in the United States very quietly, and they certainly don't want those trials to be in the news too much. So once in a while you get a little bit of news, and he was mentioned tonight. A year ago I was talking about Michael Ledeen and the exposure of Ledeen in the State Department working with Roberta Calvi and Francesco Pazienza and Alexander Haig and the White House. And Ledeen is the Minister of Propaganda for the Vatican and for the State Department, and he was pushing that Bulgarian story that the Bulgarians tried to shoot the Pope when it actually involved Frank Turple, the same gang, Wilson and Turple's gang in the CIA, shooting at the Pope in May of 1981. Ronald Reagan was shot in March, and the Pope was shot in May, and Ledeen connections came out just a year ago on his relationship to the Center for Strategic and International Studies and his work with the far right wing of the intelligence of the United States and the Vatican and a propagandist for the Vatican. There was an article about a helpful Nazi who evaded justice. This was SS Major Friedrich Bussart. He was one of the men who worked with Franz Seeks to set up the special forces of the Green Beret. He worked on Radio Free Liberty. I was talking about him a year ago. Well, you saw the Marines and the Special Forces and the Rangers in action down in Grenada this week. How the mercenaries and Special Forces and the Pentagon are taking over the decision-making of the Congress of who we make war with and where we invade. And even if it's a British protectorate, we go into that area. That's Special Forces that was brought over and formed by Adolf Hitler and these particular people that I mentioned a year ago. A year ago, John DeLorean had just been arrested, and one half of that program last year and then two other programs afterwards went into his background. His father, Ford Motor Company, his mother from Vienna, and the image of him and the California connections and his first money coming from Allstate Insurance from Sears. In 1975, his relationship to Pete Wilson, who then became Senator Pete Wilson from California, and 10 years of nightmares, people that he had busted and taken their money and broken up their inventions and exploited them, somebody in Phoenix and Kansas and Los Angeles, Idaho, and Orange County. And now the DeLorean Motors got formed over in Ireland. In the interim since this last year when he was first arrested and this came out, we found out of the money that he had came directly from Henry Bushkin, the partner of Johnny Carson with that bank in Beverly Hills, with links to Robert Duran and Jack Catane, that DeLorean Motors, besides being funded by Great Britain and the United States, a hunk of it came right out of the crime syndicate to set it up in the first place. And I mentioned his relationship to banks, the Cayman Islands and Continental Illinois, and the familiarity of the DeLorean to a lot of the other conspiracies that I've talked about. And if any of you are interested in the John DeLorean story. I did 3 broadcasts last year, and you can get those. Just a little humor in a time that's not really very funny. There were a couple of things I saw in the paper this week. Disneyland has come a long way since old Walt kicked the bucket. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal, of all things, that Disneyland refused to drop the flags to commemorate the death of 230 servicemen who died in Lebanon. And it's actually an article in the Wall Street Journal. Disneyland's refusal to drop flags for Marine dead stirs controversy. And some people objected, and the people in Anaheim, California, said that this is a magic kingdom, and we come here to have a good time, and except when the president dies or when Walt Disney died, they don't put the flags at half-mast. They did it when Walt Disney died, and they said, as far as the guys in Lebanon, they only let one flag half-mast, and that was at Main Street over by the post office. They have a poles at the post office. Well, the post office is a washroom. Men's and ladies' room. They don't mail anything, and nothing comes in. It's not a real post office, but they let one flag down, and the rest stayed up. So they're getting a little ornery. Walt Disney was so conservative that I got a kick out of seeing this in the Wall Street Journal that somebody objected that the flags weren't half-mast. And then there was another article in the Houston Post about a man who wants special examination his mother wants for him because he's allergic to the 20th century. And he lives in a cave in Madison, Wisconsin, and he wants the federal government and Social Security to give him $1,000 a month, his mother wants, because her son eats lion's meat. And he lives in a cave and just has fresh fruits and beans and lion's meat. And she has what she calls it a 20th century syndrome that her son is suffering from. And he's allergic to the modern environment and modern diet. So he sleeps most of the time in a cave, and she takes him food and cleans up the supplies, and he sleeps, and she brings him lion's meat. So she wants an increase of $1,000 a month because that would be the cost of his allergy to the 20th century. I thought that was pretty good. There's a magazine out, The Hustler, that is on the stand now that has a lot of political articles. I was surprised how many there were, but one in particular starting... it'll be out a month from today. The February issue is the article on Larry McDonald and the Korean Airline Flight 007. Larry Flint has his name on that article. He wanted to put his name as the author of the article. I don't know how it happened, but I already got a telephone call from the Washington Post today regarding that article. And I think it's going to send a lot of ripples around the powers that be, and the Washington Post is already... going to proceed on some stories on Larry Flint and the story. See, it's been very suppressed all over the country about the Los Angeles Police Department and the current file of the ACLU with 131 plaintiffs against the Los Angeles Police Department for not only keeping records and files on spying that were supposed to be destroyed for 10 years ago, but they kept them and put them into the $100,000 computer that belonged to Larry McDonald of Western Goals. And this has not made the Associated Press or the United Press or the Wire services. They've tried to suppress that story by keeping it in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner or the Los Angeles Times. And when the man called from the Washington Post today and wanted to know where I got some of my information, I said the front page of the Washington Post, August the 19th, has the story of Larry McDonald and Western Goals having to come to California to testify about the $100,000 computer that was being fed illegal documents that were supposed to have been destroyed that were being taken as a result of the lawsuit into a garage in Long Beach. And I said 12 days later he was dead. And these files contained 8 years of information when Ronald Reagan was governor. So a 1 month from now, Hustler will be on the stand with the 007 story. And then within a week, it's being printed now, week or week and a half, Rebel is coming out. Rebel's going to be the size of Time and Newsweek. And the first issue will come out on the anniversary of the murder of John Kennedy. And 1 month later, there will be another issue, and then it will roll once a week. And I told the fellow from Washington Post that they publish Newsweek. And I said, Larry Flint's going to get out a magazine once a week, and it's going to have all the news that Time and Newsweek don't print. that can be documented. It's not like the National Enquirer. It's going to be a lot of good news, 96 pages every single week. And I'll be writing 20-page story every week for that. And I did, the first story is on the JFK assassination, the Nazis. I mentioned on the air before, but there's always new listeners. So start looking in your newsstands for The Rebel. That will be out. I don't know when. He is in a hurry to get it out. The 22nd is 2 weeks away. And Larry Flynt's going to go down to Dallas and have a motorcade and duplicate the route of John Kennedy on the anniversary of Kennedy's assassination. He's decided to fly into Dallas, and he'll probably distribute 500,000 copies of that issue of The Rebel right around Dallas. And it has to do with a lot of people in Dallas, Texas, and their links to Adolf Hitler's Nazis and General Walker and the Nazis and Michael and Ruth Payne. I don't think they live there now. She moved to Florida. But with General Walter Dornberger, he's dead, but they were very much alive at the time of the Kennedy assassination. And Robert Morris has a university in Dallas, and he travels between there and Princeton. But there are plenty of current people it'll affect in Dallas, and that's out. That'll be out this next week. The current issue of Hustler has the gospel, according to Larry, and it has a long one-page story on why he's a candidate for president of the United States. I don't know how many of you saw it, but he announced his candidacy. He said, I'm white, I'm wealthy, and I'm pornographic, and that makes him qualified to be like all the other people that are running. And he explains why he wants to run, to remove the repressive hand of government that controls the legislation, and he'll make different changes in the areas of health, education, and welfare. And he has a, strangely enough, it's a pretty good platform for why he wants to be president of the United States. It's certainly as good as any of the other people that are running, and it's a lot more interesting. And he says I'm sure that you would rather prefer somebody than a Hollywood ham or an addle-brained astronaut. He says, wouldn't a smut peddler who cares be more important? So, and he also calls attention to the fact the Constitution was written by the haves for the haves, that they never imagined a homogeneous society like it is now, or a Caspar Weinberger or a Dr. Strangelove Kissinger, and that you have to get rid of these people because the Constitution never provided for those kinds of people, and that if he were president, he would rearrange things and get the executive and the legislative and the judicial back on kilter the right way they should be. He said he's seen these political quacks drunk with big shot politicians. I've been dragged through the courts and slipped money to most of them, and I know what a bunch of lying, cheating, scheming bastards they are. And so he thinks that he would do just as good a job. And so the gospel, his campaign promise, is in Hustler if you want to read it. Also, Penthouse has an article this month. I just got the Penthouse today, but that's by one of my favorite authors, Jim Hogan, and it's about Frank Turple. He interviewed Frank Turple, and Frank Turple is warning about the PLO and the violence that could take place at the Los Angeles Olympics, and that's what I have said for a long time as being arranged. Well, Larry McDonald worked, and this is in the article of the 007 that'll be out next month in The Hustler, works with George Habash, the late Larry McDonald, who set up the PLO and the massacre in Munich, Germany. And the excuse for Western goals having material in their computer from the police department was to prevent violence in Los Angeles at the time of the Olympics. And yet the man who was getting the information into the computer was the man who worked with the people that caused the last violence. So here's Frank Turple warning about the PLO. And maybe the expose of Larry McDonald will come in time if we continue articles, because the Olympics are not until the summer. And I'll be doing a 20-page story every week for Rebel, and it will hit on a lot on the Olympics and the terror and the origin of the Green Berets and the Special Forces and Squad 19 in L.A. and the plans for the military coup and the garden plot that Ronald Reagan planned when he was governor. So I'm going to do, I think, part two. The second article will be on the Nazis in Dallas, because even 54 pages, I couldn't get it all in. So the second issue of Rebel will be on the Nazis and the Kennedy assassination. And then I'll probably go right into the Los Angeles Police Department and hit Western goals and LAPD maybe every week for 4 or 5 weeks until the subject's never saturated and updated. I could do 4 or 5 consecutive evenings on World Watchers with you right now just on news of the LAPD trial that's going on and new information. As a matter of fact, several weeks ago, I had a quotation from the law office of William French Smith, and that's Ronald Reagan's law office at Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. And they were trying to stop the testimony of a Mr. Rothmiller from the police department. And they said, you know, if we let him go, it'll be a floodgate and he'll take us all the way around the world. There'll be so much material. And I think that was just 2 weeks ago. I was referring to that wonderful quotation that they're so frantic that in the first hearings of the ACLU trial before it goes right into the court, which is pretty soon, they're getting various pieces of information. Well, this week there was an article, or last week, in the L.A. Times on a man named Mr. Terry, and I want to do a whole broadcast on him, too. And he's an organized crime figure who works with Ronald Reagan. He's pictured, photographed with Nancy Reagan. And he works with the mob figures out of Chicago and out of Fort Lauderdale. And with Mayor Bradley, he works with Marvin Davis and the Henry Kissinger, the 20th Century Crowd group. And Terry not only works with the organized crime syndicate, but he armed Argentina and sending Argentine weapons and Nazis down there. And his name came up during the hearings of Mr. Rothmiller for the ACLU suit. They smoked out this Mr. Terry. So that's what the Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher law office meant when they said, you'll take us all the way around the world, because what's going on down there is such a tangling mess of names. And the law offices, as I say, of the President of the United States are handling the Los Angeles Police Department, which really is a scandal because there's a little conflict of interest with his record as governor in that in those files down there. Now, Frank Turple, the article is about Frank Turple, and Jim Hogan is the man who wrote Spooks and who wrote about Intertel. He's a very detailed, good author. I'm going to read this tomorrow, the first thing in the morning. Can't read it tonight. There's too much work to do. And it's a detail of Nguyen Bank and various people from the Defense Intelligence Agency and the CIA and the Organized Crime Syndicate and Murder Incorporated and the transfer of guns and silencers and weapons that Frank Turple uses and distributes, silencing devices, binary explosives, poison kits, helicopter, electronic eavesdropping he sends all over the world, military uniforms. This is like Otto Skorzeny at the Battle of the Bulge, supplying American uniforms to Germans to confuse the Americans. Well, that is in the penthouse this month. It's just on the stand. Get that. And along in that same issue is an article, another one of my favorite subjects. The article is by Ashley Montague. He's a well-known writer. He's a professor at Princeton. I haven't heard much about him or read much about political theory in a long time once I got to the hard facts of the world. But he has an article about the book The Terminal Man. In 1973, Michael Crichton wrote the book The Terminal Man. And I've said many times that it's based upon a real man who had his head, his brains removed, and they put electrodes in and magnet kind of things in his brains, and they took the Polaroid camera away from them. The land camera was taken from him. The doctors did the surgery where Dr. Vernon H. Mark, a neurosurgeon, and Frank Irvin, a psychiatrist, who were Crichton's teachers at Harvard University. And at the time that the blacks were rioting, when Martin Luther King was killed and Malcolm X, and they were protesting, they wanted to study why blacks riot, what makes them violent. So they were taking the brains of people. And I've talked many times that Mark and Irvin came out to UCLA to work with Ronald Reagan when he was the governor with Jolly West. And this fits into what we were talking before the program began about UCLA and their experimentation with brain cells. Now, they're actually, this is... He's actually talking about the 34-year-old engineer whose brains they took and experimented on, this inventor. And there was a lawsuit in Los Angeles. He moved to Long Beach with his mother. And at the time of the lawsuit against these doctors, he was put in Veterans Hospital, and he was violent and tearing things apart. And Dr. Irvin and Sweet were still at Boston, and they didn't tell them at the Veteran Hospital that they had these electrodes in him, and there was so much radiation coming out of his head, they had to put a wastebasket on his head in the courtroom, and he was reduced just to garbage, his brain. And they took the invention. I began to study that when I was studying what happens to inventors in this country, how they're killed, their inventions are stolen, they're charged with murder, their families are broken up. And NASA and the top think tanks in the United States literally steal their inventions. And this is subject that is very close to what I have been involved with studying. There isn't too much. You can't make 26-inch file cabinet on this case. It's a tragedy. But all of a sudden, Ashley Montague is catching on to this and naming these people in this magazine. And so I'll read that, and I hope all of you get this issue of Penthouse. And just today, there was a story, an Associated Press story, of a new book coming out of the, it's in Washington, but it says, author claims the Soviets are perfecting mind control. The Soviet Union has achieved significant progress towards developing mind control weapons, and this has to do with brain activity and how they are affecting our lives. And there's a new book called Psychic Warfare, Threat or Illusion, warning the Pentagon and the United States intelligence agencies. It's written by Martin Ebon, E-B-O-N, warning us about the accelerated mind control of the Soviet Union. Well, that's in the newspaper today, November the 7th, 1983. And here Ashley Montague is finally catching on to not only a movie was made, but I knew Crichton, Michael Crichton. I think he wrote Coma, and he knows, I think he's a doctor, and he knows a lot about what is going on. And I didn't realize, of course, I should have known that he worked right at Harvard, the home base of Henry Kissinger and a lot of other people, some good people, but some sleazy. So that the article on this Terminal Man is in the new Penthouse. And what I'll do, I'm making a list of things to write every week, because I'll do a weekly story for Rebel. And when I get home from World Watchers, I do all this work on Mondays and then share with you Monday night. And it goes out by subscription. Then what I'm going to do is Tuesday, write a 20-page story with the best of the week that will go out each week to the Rebel, so that I can pull from my files the story of the surgery that was done on this man. The Terminal Man is a real man, and then use an example of some other scientists that were taken and their lives rearranged. Now, I want to get on to what's going down in Grenada, because it is a symptom of a situation that's going to escalate way out of control. As I mentioned earlier, after killing this poor Maurice Bishop, they'll next take Arafat. He's being closed in, and then it'll be Gaddafi, and then they'll take over El Salvador, and Fidel Castro will be killed next. They're out wanting Fidel Castro's blood, and then take over Nicaragua and El Salvador, and then they'll come to us. Those special forces will round you up. That's what the computer banks are for. That's what Western Goals is for. For Americans, Californians, and they have offices in every state. You don't think that's just for some vague place that they're going to all this trouble? No. Those are for you out here in California and whoever I'm talking to. The Western Goals has offices in New York and Philadelphia and Chicago and everywhere else. There was an article in Covert Action in 1980. That was 3 years ago. By Ken Lawrence, who writes very good articles on CIA assassinations in part two. He said the pace of political assassinations has picked up considerably. This is 3 years ago. The murder of Walter Rodney in Guyana on June 13th, that was 1980. The attempted murder in Grenada of the Prime Minister Maurice Bishop 6 days later. Bishop came in 1979, and there was an attempt to murder him by the CIA. And then the stabbings in Jamaica and the killings and Manley's murder and the stabbing and the taking over the government there. And this article mentioned in the Philippines, this was long before Aquino was murdered. It said in June, the Philippine Liberation Courier published information that CIA had plotted the assassination of Philippine nationalist leader Claro Recto in 1960, that was 3 years before John Kennedy was killed. According to documents in the Naval War College, U.S. Ambassador Raven Spruance and the CIA Station Chief Brigadier General Ralph Lovett discussed assassinating him as far back as 1954. And the article goes on to the hit team of Cuban terrorists involved in at least one dozen murders since 1974. This is written in 1980. Discussed by the Central Intelligence Agency from the police in South Africa and in Chile, the organizations of BOSS, B-O-S-S, of the South African police and the DINA, the secret police in Chile, after Allende was murdered and Pinochet was in, the murders had escalated there, the Cuban nationalist movement in Miami and Union City, New Jersey, DINA had killed at least 17 agents of the Cuban Intelligence Service. The out of New Jersey is where George Corkula came, who works with Edwin Wilson. And then the article goes on to say that several of the CIA supplied teams to kill former Chilean General Carlos Prats and his wife Cora. They were murdered in October 1974, and Michael Townley was released from jail for the murder charge of Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffat in Washington, D.C. in 1976. And he was supposed to be sent down to Argentina, and the United States government didn't send him. The Argentine don't want him, and the CIA was directly involved in the murders down there of the Chilean General Prat and his wife, and then the bombing. They had a car bombing. And then the Chilean Minister of Defense, Oscar Bonilla, was blown up with five other people in Chile in March of 1975. These are all CIA murders. I'm leading up to Mr. Maurice Bishop the last week and a half ago. And then they had a list of other murders and people that worked for the CIA who bragged about killing the 17 operatives and so forth, working out of the CIA. And they said all of this happened at a time when the Rockefeller Commission was working, investigating the Central Intelligence Agency, when the Pike Committee from the House of Representatives was investigating the CIA assassinations, and Senator Frank Church was aggressive against journalists who were ferrying out the assassination teams. So in 1980, this article by Ken Lawrence was to the point that they were out escalating the murders. Well, you see what's happening now and how terrible it is today. There was an article, Hawks Want Castro. The White House is getting bells, alarm bells. Get Fidel Castro, the State Department, and the Pentagon, and that will be next. And all of these people who wanted some form of social change, who really didn't hurt America or threaten America at all, but won't get involved in their drug traffic and a lot of other problems. I heard on the TV tonight, Mr. Bishop took 40% unemployment in 3 years. It was down to 14% unemployment. And brought in medical help and hospitals and schools, and for that he was murdered. Now, also, this was a while back in 1980, December 1980, that was 3 years ago, this is 1983, there was an article in, this is by Jonathan Block and Pat Fitzsimmons, in Covert Action, the Eastern Caribbean and the Coast Guard. Now, this has to do with one month after Mr. Bishop was in. It said there are plans to create an Eastern Caribbean Regional Coast Guard by the United States. They're drawing up for 2 years on the drawing board. That's just about time right now. There'll be a United Police Command with a residual defense capability, and the trend is towards collaboration and mutual defense agreements to stop Cuba's influence and to stop the Grenadian Revolution that had an impetus just for 1 month. This came out a month after Bishop was in. The plans call for a coordinated defense effort begun early in 1979 when the idea was discussed between Prime Minister Tony Adams of Barbados and then British Prime Minister James Callaghan after Callaghan visited Barbados. The Grenadian Revolution in March 79 hastened the establishment of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States. See, in 1979, when Maurice Bishop came in there, then they quickly got an organization that just several weeks ago said, come save us. And that was the excuse to do it. And the organization was set up to, in 1980, 1 month after he was elected. There were no medical students threatened, no lives threatened. And 1 month after he was elected, they set up a team that was to come in and save them. So that shows you how insidious it was. They had a team, and not only did they have it, but it says Britain's interest in the project was summed up by the Conservative Foreign Minister, Lord Carrington, during his visit in Barbados in 1980. Now, I mentioned last week that social disease called Henry Kissinger, and Kissinger Associates and Congressman Gonzalez asking on the floor of Congress to find out if our State Department is leased to Henry Kissinger and Kissinger Associates with Lord Carrington. Now, this is Kissinger's partner, and he referred to him as a hired gun on the floor of Congress in September before Bishop was murdered. So the same Lord Carrington, who's the partner of Henry Kissinger, was down at Barbados in 1980 saying we can't have an elected person like Bishop, even if he employs them, even if he educates them, even if he medicates them. We have to get help, and we need the development and training of police and ships to be ready. So the United States' interest in the East Caribbean increased after the Grenadian Revolution. This was published December 1980, 3 years ago, if you have any doubt about how this thing got started in the last couple of weeks, and with all the diversions that Ronald Reagan had, and we'll go into those for the second half hour. We'll take a one-minute break now and remind you that it's KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California, and it's Mae Bressel talking about the Caribbean and the murder of Mr. Bishop and the intent to take over the islands when he was elected 3 years ago.